never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're talking about the end game, and this is what this is all about. The end game. We're walking you to what the end game, we believe the end game will be, but giving you important background information in the interim. And I happen to see, I don't watch the chat in any venue that we have. I just can't do two things at once. I can barely do one thing at one time. However, somebody says, well, you know, why are we even talking about this? Why don't we talk about something that we could actually do something about? There's two reasons we're talking about this. It's because no one is giving you the bigger picture, or few are. I haven't heard anyone on the radio give the bigger picture of what's really taking place here and what we believe. Certainly we, Joe and I, have done research, and we believe what's going to happen, why this is happening, and you better brace for impact. Because as we had talked before about that car going off the cliff and bouncing, this, now we are going to have a significant impact. That's what we're being set up for. And if you don't understand that you walked into a casino in Las Vegas, one that is totally, you know, all of them obviously have the house edge, but this one, the casino called the elections in America. No, the house always wins. Who wins? Who's going to win this election? I can tell you exactly who's going to win. It's the globalists and the bankers. They're going to win. But what can we do about it? If we expose their machinations, we have a chance of doing something about it. That is, unless you are a turnip and you're listening to this and you're a turnip. Or you've got the television remote super glued into your hand, or you've got you're suffering from rectal cranial inversion, we can do something about it. Somebody asked also, and I'm just going to hit this real quick and toss it to Joe, because again, we're looking at the bigger picture of things. Colorado is a symptom. Mm-hmm. The elections are the little trinkets that are being dangled in front of every American's face. You see, all eyes are on Colorado. Yeah, it's important. You got to know why. You got to know what's going on. But they want you to focus and fight. Because meanwhile, they want you to be looking out the front door at Colorado and other things, while they're coming in the back and robbing you blind. Now, that's not to say Colorado is not important, because it is, because it reveals the overt subjugation of the American people. Now, well, I got an email saying, what's the difference between a caucus and a primary? Eric the Tech, he's having a good time with those terms earlier today in the studio. I loved it. It was just his voice, man, sometimes. Okay, what are caucuses? His fake voice. Sorry. Eric, just what a guy. Caucuses, what those are, and we saw these. They're local meetings of registered party members who get together at various locations on a state level and discuss business. The state party organizes these events. Caucuses take place in gyms and at precincts or counties. And I mean, sometimes they're held in people's living rooms or town halls or other venues. The people, the caucus goers, give speeches, debate, and they can convince others to vote like them. They say, you know, come on. All right. The rules and methods for that practice vary from state to state and even year by year, but often the voting is tallied by participants standing in groups that support their preferred candidates by show of hands or by paper ballots. That's what caucuses are. The plural for caucuses, cocci? I don't think so. But, you know, and states that have caucuses: Maine, Minnesota, Iowa, Kansas, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, North Dakota, Alaska, and Hawaii. The rest have primaries. All right. So what's a primary then? Primaries are run by the state government and are done by secret ballot at a polling place, at a voting place. Just, it's kind of like a general election. And there are two main types of primaries to make this even more intense of a civic lesson. Open and closed. In closed primaries, members vote in the party primary in which they're registered. Open primaries mean that registered voters can cast a ballot in any party primary, but they can only vote in one. That's the difference between a primary and a caucus. And caucuses are really something, they can be marathons. They often have a lower voter turnout. But conversely, that often means that those who do show up are very political active, and very passionate about what they feel. This is why the Colorado situation is important.
There's a headline from the New York Times: as campaign seeks delegates, ordinary voters feel sidelined. When it comes to nominating presidential candidates, it turns out the world's foremost democracy is not so purely democratic. And mm-hmm. It goes on to give a short history, going on to say basically, if Donald Trump secures the nomination, Colorado's efforts here will be for nothing.
Well,
because
yes.
They've bound the delegates to a certain candidate.
That's right.
Without a populist vote. And if Donald Trump does remain the winner, it would negate the relevancy of any delegate from Colorado.
Say that last statement again.
If Donald Trump does secure the nomination,
right,
it would negate any relevancy from what they did in Colorado.
To the extent that those people who were legitimately for Cruz were not tallied.
Right.
Okay.
And I mean, this is the ruling elite's plan to rule this nation. They don't want the people to have a voice. This is their way of taking away the voice. And what recourse do the people have, the voting public have, in trying to rectify this or to make it right or to hear their voice heard? In many states, even if the delegates and if the people cast their primary votes and the delegates are counted, it does not matter. They have what are now known as superdelegates, which
right,
have been
right.
created by the two-party systems, each separately in their own way, in an ability to centralize power.
That's
kind of like with Super
way.
Congress.
Yep. Yeah, well, the Gang of Eight?
Yes, yes. And, you know, they're doing this. Now, we see, in looking ahead into the future, on the 19th of April, there will be a primary held in New York. Now, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both hold substantial leads over their primary rivals in New York just a week before the state's election. Trump's lead is a 33-point gap over the GOP field, that from an NBC News Wall Street poll. that was released today. Trump holds 54% of the likely Republican primary voters surveyed, compared to 21% for Ohio Governor John Kasich.
Yeah, you're talking about the popular vote, right?
For Ted Cruz, yes. This is in a poll in a run-up to next week's primary in New York State.
Okay. And don't forget, folks, again, mark your calendar. All primaries and caucuses are over by June 7th of this year for the Republican nomination.
And New York represents the second largest prize left on the calendar with 95 GOP delegates, 14 to statewide winner, and the remaining 81 divided up by winner of congressional districts, three per district.
Right.
Trump's margin is important as he stands to win all three delegates in any district where he hits 50%. If not, he'll split delegates with the second place finisher.
Okay.
As it stands now.
Well, okay, and again, to continue the civics lesson, what's a delegate versus a super delegate? They're pledged delegates, in other words.
Yeah.
And they're chosen by voters, right?
Superdelegates?
No, delegates are chosen by voters during the primaries and caucuses in each state. And they act as representatives voting on behalf of the people who elected them. That's a delegate.
A delegate.
Right.
Correct.
And even though that delegate has to vote the way of the people in the first vote, if the first vote fails to bring about a candidate by majority, then of course they can vote for whoever they want, basically. It varies by state. It varies by state, but you get the idea. They can change their mind ultimately. And a superdelegate is, just very quickly, they're selected outside of the primaries and caucuses. They are selected members of the political party. They're chosen during the primary season.
There's an article from Bustle.com that says, what about the GOP? Do Republicans get superdelegates? And they say the technical answer is yes, the Republican Party does have superdelegates. However, they function differently for the GOP than Democrats. Right. And in 2016, Republican superdelegates will have way less power than they did last time around for some reason. I'm not sure what the changes are. But they do not have as much power as they apparently did years before.
Well, and this is important also. This is important to remember, too, because, you know, our program is listened to by many, many people. Now, you remember Dave Hodges was on 2 weeks ago, and he's going to be on again this week to talk about certain things that are just unbelievably important to all of us. But I just want to say that he talked about this very issue. Remember what he said. He said that this is a time when Priebus and others said, hey, the people don't elect the nominee. We do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This article goes on to say the thing to keep in mind about delegates and superdelegates is that they were created not by Congress nor Constitution, but by the parties themselves. The GOP and the Democratic Party are non-governmental organizations, and they can basically set whatever rules they'd like regarding delegates and how they're distributed.
And this is what George Washington warned about, essentially, the different political parties and these cliques forming within each party. And this is why Karl Rove is smiling. Everything's going as planned.
Yep. The GOP has decided to establish fewer superdelegates than the Democrats. In the Republican Party, the only people who get superdelegate status are the three members of each state's national party. That means in the GOP, the superdelegates are only about 7% of the total number of delegates. The more important distinction is that Republican superdelegates do not have the freedom to vote for whichever candidate they please. The Republican National Committee ruled in 2015 that superdelegates must vote for the candidate that their state voted for, and that's the biggest difference between Democratic and Republican superdelegates.
Okay. Now, if your eyes are glazing over and you're saying, okay, enough of this boring stuff, let's get to the meat of it. We need to lay the foundation because we have to understand the mechanics of the operation. Because, again, we don't live in a democracy. We don't ink our finger, you know, in the inkwell to show that we voted. This is not a democracy. This is a constitutional republic, representative republic, whatever you want to call it, but it was set up in that fashion. And this is not mob rule. So once we understand the rules of the game, then we can understand how they're being changed and who is changing them and to what ends. So let's take a trip back to September 15th of last year. What was going on then as it relates to Colorado? Well, there was remember the Fox News debate, or the debate on Fox News, the Republican debate? It was one of the first where Donald Trump really kind of got a lead. And people were saying, oh man, he might take the nomination. Well, the RNC sent out a mailer just within 3 weeks after that debate, in the wake of Donald Trump's rising numbers, sent out a mailer. The RNC was looking for a $3 donation. The prize, or the hook in this case, was promising entry into a contest to win tickets to the Colorado debate. For $3, you might be able, you know, we can invite you to the Colorado debate. Or we can have you in there. Most people looked at that, probably thought, oh, this is harmless. Now, the Conservative Treehouse shed light, the website Conservative Treehouse shed light on this back in September 15th of last year. But the people that thought this was meaningless or harmless, they weren't watching carefully, because the request, the email, the mailer had additional meaning. The first flag, of course, according to the Conservative Treehouse website in the article from September 15th, the first flag was the sender. It wasn't a traditional participant in the RNC, the Republican apparatus. It was actually signed by, guess, Karl Rove. The second thing, Karl Rove was in Colorado 2 days before that. In fact, Fox News, they broadcast from Colorado, and within 3 days of the email, Colorado announced the cancellation of their primaries. Now think of the chain of events here. Colorado will not vote for a Republican candidate for president in its 2016 caucus after party leaders approved a little notice shift that may diminish the state's clout in the most open nomination contest in modern history. The GOP executive committee voted to cancel the traditional presidential preference poll, which you referenced earlier, after the national party changed its rules to require state's delegates to support the candidate that wins the caucus vote. And Conservative Treehouse writes, well, perhaps this was merely a coincidence. However, given the establishment Republicans' activity underpinning their agenda, there's not much coincidental about this. And then a week later, August 30th of 2015, there was concern among the Rove Enterprise, Karl Rove, and the Rhinos and the establishment Republicans. As much as the RNC GOP or establishment would like to take Trump out, it's obvious from within the party itself that they're increasingly recognizing they just can't take him down. All right, now they're starting to get desperate. So, watch the reports and news cycles closely in the lead up to the next debate last September, this, of course. And you're going to see the workings of this strategy, the promotion of various other, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the insight back in September, why Colorado took down their, why Colorado took themselves out was a Karl Rove initiative. An establishment Republican initiative. And do you also coming from this, and this is from Joe and I, our research, if you want to toss this up on the Eric, the picture of the three people sitting at the table, the last picture, did you get that? If you didn't, then no worries. All right, no worries. Okay, the newspaper. Yeah, no. Now, there's a picture that was taken very recently, like within the last 6 months, And you don't have to. I mean, it's no big deal. Okay. Of Valerie Jarrett, Rupert Murdoch, I believe it was Rupert Murdoch, and Jeb Bush, all seated together at a dinner table in a restaurant. Why is this important? Well, because we're seeing Colorado as a stepping stone, as a cog in the wheel to take out Trump, but not just Trump, but Cruz as well, so they could put an establishment Republican in that position. That's plan A. Plan B would be to go with Cruz, who would be weakened because of the lack of supporters of Cruz from the Trump supporters. And plan C would be to put somebody like Jeb Bush in there. But when you understand the uniparty, there's only one party, and that's the globalists, working to destroy this country, making it appear that it's eroding politically, they want a globalist in that seat. How are they going to do that? Hillary Clinton? Or a Bush, or even a Ryan? But plan B certainly could be Cruz. But we don't think, and Joe, I don't think that's what they're planning. I think they want to take both Trump and Cruz out. We had discussed this pretty much at length. What are your thoughts? Do you think that Cruz will be...
I hope not. I mean, it's obvious we're not going to see a fair and balanced election process here. It's obvious that the people are not going to pick the candidate which they choose. It's going to be the establishment elite that chooses the candidate for them.
Right.
Do they want that to be Ted Cruz? I'm not sure. Would they rather put somebody else in who they know, who they trust? Well, is Cruz someone they know and they can trust? He's been in the political world for a long time. His wife's a member of the CFR.
Right.
And has ties to Goldman Sachs. He's worked on the Bush presidency.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, he very well could be. At the same time, they could be using him just to get rid of Donald Trump. And I'll say it again. If Donald Trump chooses to run as a third-party candidate, as much as this might hurt people to think about, he will give Hillary Clinton the nomination.
But he signed the pledge not to run as a third-party candidate. So,
and they signed the pledge saying that they would
there you go.
Back him up and you know, do what they could if people supported him, that they would support him the same.
So why now? Why at this point? Why did this happen? Why did this seemingly take Donald Trump by surprise? If this was known back in August, if this rule change was done, or if this change was done back in July and was known in August and reported in editorials in September of last year, why today is there such outrage?
Well, I don't know. There's a new poll from Gallup, a Gallup poll from today. U.S. worries about race relations reach a new high. 35% of Americans are worried a great deal about race relations. Number has more than doubled in the past 2 years. Race relations still rank low among issues causing worry. More than a third of Americans now say they are worried a great deal about race relations in the U.S., which is higher than at any time since Gallup first asked the question in 2001.
Okay, and that's exactly a huge part of this, Joe. Go on.
They say that concern about race relations in the U.S. has risen during an 18-month period marked by a series of deaths of unarmed blacks at the hands of police officers. These deaths sparked major, sometimes violent protests and fueled nationwide rise of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
Concern about race relations over the past 2 years has increased among Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, blacks and whites. The gap between the groups who were already most worried before 2015, Democrats, liberals, and blacks, and those less worried, has not shrunk, in some cases has widened. Particularly to note is 53-27% worried gap between black and whites, up from 31-14% between black and whites in the 2012-2014 combined polls.
All right. Now, folks, I want you to listen to some numbers here. Because knowing what you know, knowing that there is divisiveness and divide that's being sprinkled all throughout the political parties, especially the conservative / Republican / whatever, conservative Republican, whatever. That is the target. Now, That's political division. But what you just mentioned here, consider this. Now, what I'm about to say is based on 2012 FBI crime statistics and also can be backed up in 2010 U.S. Census figures. Now, please, folks, understand I'm giving you these figures this is not racially motivated. These are just facts from 2012 FBI crime statistics. Black Americans make up 12.61% of the United States population. So, black Americans, I'll just say 13% of the U.S. population. Now, consider these numbers carefully. That 12.61 or 13%, rounded up, commit 32.5% of all rapes. So a third of all rapes are done by 12.61% of the population. 34.1% of all assaults. 54.9% of all robberies. And 49.9% or 50% of all murders. To say it another way, half of all murders are done by less than 13% of the U.S. population. The blacks. Horrifically, 91% of murdered blacks are killed by other blacks. That's black on black crime. There's a problem here. Now, this is not meant to be racist. I'm just parroting facts from the 2012 FBI crime statistics. And you might say, well, who cares? What does that matter? Because in order to fuel the racial division, the globalists know that there's a disproportionate number of black Americans who are committing the disproportionate number of crimes. So they will use that just as they use the Islamic component and weaponize that violence. All right? That's just the way it is. So you've got the political disunity and chaos. Now you've got this racial component just of black Americans now, without the immigrants from Mexico and other than Mexicans who are going to be added into this mix. But consider the violence that really is problematic within these numbers. So if you were going to create divisiveness or to exacerbate divisiveness, would you turn to a more stable segment of society? No. You would exploit those people who you've been exploiting consistently, and that's the black population. I look at the black population too as victims just as much as anything else in this case, because they have been used as political weapons. And that's just my two cents. And I'm not saying that to mitigate accusations of racism. I'm saying that just historically, how have we exploited black Americans in this country? We've done a horrendous job, treated them horrendously. But that doesn't excuse, it explains, but does not excuse those numbers. So that's how this is going to figure into the divide. And so what's the end game? To shine the light on the end game, we are going to see not just political disunity, but disruption to the point where there will be violence in the streets. However, because the average conservative Republican doesn't take to the streets like a 1968 Chicago style. Remember that at the DNC in Chicago, 1968? Because Republicans are not predisposed to that, they need to inject the racial component into this, and they will use that and use the not just the racial, but the alien aspect and the illegal alien aspect, and also the divide among the haves and have-nots into the mix in order to subjugate, or in order to cause chaos and to subjugate us to the equivalent of an emergency police lockdown and a potential suspension of the elections. And if you want to go one step further, perhaps UN intervention because of election irregularities. Now think about that for a moment. And violence. Could it happen? Well, how many people say that we're a banana republic, a third world republic? We are, or third world country. It's by design. So, but meanwhile, people are looking at Colorado as just like a, oh, that, you know, just a one-off, or, you know, it's, hey, Trump should have paid attention to the rules. Well, yeah. So what? They changed the rules, and he should have paid attention to the rules, just because, and people are saying Cruz outsmarted Trump.
AP has a story today. Candidates with the muscle could alter GOP convention rules. With the Republican nominating convention less than 100 days away, the GOP presidential candidate isn't the only thing still up for grabs. Also in play, the rules by which the nominee will be chosen. And that's...
folks, yeah, watching...
The truth.
Exactly. Exactly. But watching this on YouTube, take a look at your YouTube screen. Take a good hard look at that. What does that tell you? That picture? Karl Rove, Rupert Murdoch, and Valerie Jarrett?
Jeb Bush.
Or, I'm sorry. What am I looking at? Hey, man. Wait a minute. What's the title of that picture?
Title is...
Eric the Tech is now looking. I think I might have made a mistake on that.
Well, he's looking for the title. This article from the AP says, Cleveland, we've got a problem. This year, there may not be a presumptive nominee at the convention as it begins. It is possible that this will be the GOP's first competitive convention since 1976, with no candidate controlling the majority of delegates. Candidate campaigns would compete for support for rule advantages to them, with behind-the-scenes bargaining rampant. Trump and Cruz could have enough delegates combined to back rules, making it virtually impossible for a third rival to emerge. On the other hand, Republicans looking to block the two leaders could seek support for rules, making it easier for a savior-like House Speaker Paul Ryan, who voiced disinterest, to gallop in becoming the nominee. The golden rule of conventions is he who has the votes makes the rules, said a GOP operative, John Yobe, author of a book entitled Chaos, The Outsider's Guide to a Contested Republican National Convention, 2016.
Have you noticed, as you look at that picture, consider if you do any internet surfing at all, have you noticed on internet websites, on survival websites or forums, for example, on the Republican side, and I say Republican, not conservative, on the Republican side, like Free Republic, on the Democratic side, like Democratic Underground, on survivalist forums and other websites like Red State, have you noticed that there are individuals who are planting the seeds of divisiveness in the midst of this uniparty? Why would they do that? If there's nothing else you take away from tonight's program, please understand, not that we're not telling you anything that you don't know, that you're being gamed, but please understand who is gaming you, how big this game is, and what the stakes are. Because I do believe that in the fall of this year, And as a result of what happens in Cleveland, or shortly thereafter, we are going to see, and I hope I'm wrong, but we're going to see orchestrated chaos and disruptions.
Today, Rush Limbaugh said, "Now, there's something else about these delegate fights that have taken place over the weekend where Cruz has just skunked Trump. It isn't even a contest. It is fascinating to watch, and of course the Trump people think that games are being played and tricks are being pulled. But that is not happening. That's just somebody who understands the system using it. You know, we could go into a little discussion if you want about insider versus outsider, and I've tried to tell people these insiders are not just going to let this stuff go, folks. They're not just going to sit idly by and let you take it away from them." Well, I'll say this in regards to Rush Limbaugh's comments. He could be right, but what about Ron Paul's run, where he had the grassroots delegate majority that was taken away from him when he was doing exactly what Ted Cruz is trying to do?
Not trying to do what he did, and it continues to try to do as well. But he already has done that in Colorado. And the reason that people should wake up to Colorado is because it's open in other states as well. Not to the extent of Colorado, but through delegates and games like that. Change of rules. Now, don't forget, we have the RNC rule book, which again is available online, but you've got Rule 40A and you've got Rule 40B. And how many times have people heard, what about Rule 40B? And what about Rule, you know, could there be a game changer? Could Rule 40B be a game changer? Have you heard about that, folks? Do we care? Do we need to know what that is? Well, you know what? It's really, that was written for Romney by the globalists, by the insiders, in the event of a contested Republican convention. Rule 40B, it's in the rule book. I can't remember which page it's on. I don't have the rule book in front of me. But what is Rule 40B? It mandates eligibility for the nomination based on how many states a candidate has won. And now this could be the key to Trump's nomination, or it could be actually if removed, it could very well spell the doom for Trump. So we have to watch what the establishment Republicans are doing with respect to Rule 40B. It's kind of a new addition to the Republican rule book. It was aimed at protecting a potential candidate who was Mitt Romney during this year's bid. So it was kind of, they were looking ahead saying, well, what if Romney is the 2016 candidate? The rules that the Republican lawyer Ginsburg pushed through the Rules Committee and were adopted at the 2012 convention were done so to protect Romney in the event he ran in 2016. See, the reason this all, the whole thing is important, the reason you need to know this is so we can debate, or we can convince or talk with the other intellectual people who are awake, and we have enough actual factual ammunition, and we don't react to their accusations or assertions. We respond to them. Okay, that's what this is all about. And how are we going to convince others among us that we're being laughed at, that we're captured, that this is a captured operation? America has been captured from within. How are we going to convince them that we're not some conspiracy kook if we cannot debate, talk about the facts? This isn't conspiracy. This is all fact. Back to Rule 40B, instead of having to win five states like 2012, if Rule 40B is allowed to stand at the revamping at this convention, a candidate must win eight states before they can enter their name for nomination. That's what Rule 40B is.
And if I can cut in here just to close with what Rush Limbaugh said, he says if Trump does not get the 1237 delegates before the convention, it may be over the way this is going because Cruz is sewing up his delegates on the second ballot. But my humble belief is that if and after the powers that be dispatch Trump, they will then seek to dispatch Cruz. Over there is Paul Ryan's running campaign for something, and everybody's marveling at it.
And one would be wise to listen to what Rush Limbaugh is saying, because he's an insider. He's a globalist himself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's not like all of this is happening in a vacuum. Rush Limbaugh certainly knows what's taking place, or at least knows as much as his compartmentalization will allow. If you don't think he's bought off, bought and paid for, I mean, I understand what he started, how he started out, what he started out as, but you also have to understand too, at his level, he's not worried about paying his bills.
No. And on the other side of the aisle here, Michael Savage, from Roman Daily, calling the Colorado Republican Party decision not to hold a primary vote a scandal. Talk radio host Michael Savage declared Senator Ted Cruz should disavow the move and call for a vote. What has just happened in Colorado should frankly disqualify Cruz, who claims to be a constitutional conservative, Savage told his listeners Monday. Savage is a strong supporter of GOP frontrunner Donald Trump, who has been a regular guest on the Savage Nation.
Savage is not wrong.
Yeah, he goes on to say, I told you we don't have a democracy. It's how I rose to fame in the radio business. I position as I have been all my life, as the total cynic, he said. This is a corrupt, rotten system. It's a one-party system, a demagogue. There is no two-party system. They are the ones who selected Obama. They are the ones who are going to select Hillary. Make no mistake about it.
And going back to what George Washington said, he condemned the more than one-party system for the reasons of that we're seeing in Colorado, and for the reasons we're seeing with the manipulation of delegates. However, since we have a two-party system, or more than a two-party, I shouldn't say just a two-party system, we have multiple parties, there are rules that should be adhered to, and of course that we're not. They're using the rules for the different parties to take away our freedom of choice in this election. So I guess there's no other way to say it. But you know, it's interesting. Again, the when you scour the landscape and get a feel for the public perception of what's going on, you've got on one side saying, well, the rules only count for Trump when they work to his advantage, and Trump should have known, and this shows that Cruz is much more of a statesman, and you know, Cruz took advantage of the rules that were in place, and so on and so forth. Okay, you're seeing it really more than the topic itself, more than the situation in Colorado itself. What you're seeing, folks, is the takedown, or the seeds of disharmony, distrust, and destruction being planted within the ranks of the conservatives. And we're watching the conservatives really have a fit, rightfully so, over what they're seeing with respect to the behaviors and machinations of the general establishment Republicans, who are nothing more than the minions of the globalists. So the question now is, what happens if Trump is defeated? What happens if Cruz is, you know, what happens? And you quoted Rush Limbaugh. Did you quote from the transcript about, I don't know,
second half of the first paragraph, and
okay,
it was from his site.
Yeah, okay. If I overlap, everyone just don't worry about it. Because he said it doesn't matter whether I think Cruz is cheating or not. I can't remember if that was part of your...
Yeah, he said
okay,
he's not
some
cheating.
Of you do think that. I don't want to be repetitive here. at the end of this, if Trump doesn't get the nomination after all this, then what's next? Now, Pat Buchanan has written that he thinks it doesn't matter because Trump has ignited a new nationalistic populist movement, which will not be denied. And that if they don't get there this year, that movement has now found out how powerful it is and how many people are in it, that certain polling senses that they are majority, a number of people oppose immigration, want a wall, and so on. I'm not going to, you know, continue, but the bottom line here is Limbaugh believes or is trying to promote or assert that ultimately this is good for everyone. And I wholeheartedly disagree. After reading this, his transcript from his show today, I wholeheartedly disagree because I don't believe that we are going to have a republic left, a country left, after this election. And I'm not even so sure, despite, it doesn't matter who gets in, including Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is just merely one man. And the other religious, spiritual, I shouldn't say religious, but the spiritual component of this too, is we are a country. The majority of us are Christians. But have we not shown our hubris to God and our thumbing our nose at God by not repenting and instead by saying, we're going to make America great again? Well, how do you do that? Yeah, certainly you can deport the illegal immigrants in this country. You can do that. You can fix a lot of wrongs, but at the heart of it all, it's a spiritual problem, not a political problem. And you know what Steve Quayle has always said, you cannot fix spiritual problems with political solutions. So at the heart of all of this, it's really the Christians who need to get together, not only expose the nefarious doings of the establishment, but also to urge those people to not embrace the hubris of making America great again, although that would be nice, but you know, how do you do it? You've got to do it through repentance and through closing down the abortion mills. You've got to bring back traditional marriage. Yet I have not heard any candidate really take a good hard stance on abortion or sodomite marriages. Nor have I heard any candidate say, well, if I'm elected, I'm going to shut down the Planned Parenthood and the abortion facilities. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard them say with authority that they would use their executive authority. They would enforce the Constitution, the precepts of the Constitution, the laws of the Constitution. I haven't heard them say that. And because it's morally and biblically right, correct. The other thing I want to mention real quick, and then we can move on. If you don't think for one moment that you talk about some pulp fiction, the Boston Globe, did you see the headline with Trump this weekend from the Boston Globe?
I heard about this.
Yeah. Well, the Boston Globe this weekend published this headline. And think about this in the context of history. Has this ever happened before? It has a date in the future. It had a date in the future, the Boston Globe. And had I thought about this, I would have given Eric a picture to put up. Had Trump on the front page. Boston Globe, Trump front page. After the election, Trump is president. After the inauguration, Trump is president. In the Boston Globe satirical piece, deportations to begin as a headline, or something similar. Well, let me just make sure of the headline. Yeah, okay. Thanks. All right, so Boston Globe, deportations to begin in the news. I guess what we're seeing here in this case is more than reporting. Thanks, Eric. It's up, folks, for watching on YouTube. It's up there on YouTube. Take a look at that. take a really good hard look at that. And think about what we have talked about the Tavistock Institute, about their, and think about what Joe, his research and our research, collective and individual research about the six corporations who, or five corporations or however many who own all of the media. Think about the message that that is giving, whether, I mean, it's obvious, it's in your face. I was going to say subliminal. The subliminal aspect of this was programming, mental programming.
Yeah, President Trump calls for tripling of ICE force. Riots continue. On the left, it says curfews extended in multiple cities.
They're not even trying to hide this anymore.
No.
They're not trying to hide this anymore. They're not trying to hide what they are doing to us. And every one of us, well, not maybe present company to this program excluded, we are falling for this. We're falling into this, well, we're being roped into fighting and making it so that the fighting is our idea. But what choice do we really have? When it's all said and done, what choice do we have? The choice is how we fight. And again, I don't believe for one moment that I believe that the conservative, I believe that, that the political and social conservatives of this country can be pushed pretty doggone far before they do anything whatsoever. Reactionary. I believe that there will be a response, but not necessarily a sharp reaction. Please understand the difference. But what you're seeing on the, on your screen, the Boston Globe, deportations to begin with Trump as president, post-inauguration, calling or reporting on riots, and markets sink as trade war looms. That should prove, that the Boston Globe should prove everything we've been talking about the pre-programming, Tavistockian model. We're coming up at the top of the hour, folks, but please understand what we're seeing. Please understand we're being manipulated, gamed into reaction, problem, reaction, solution. They're creating the problem. They're creating, causing the reaction, and they will have the solution. The solution will be, at some point, complete subjugation of global power, because America will cease to exist as it has existed. It's all to go back to Nimrod. Or to the Tower of Babel. It's all the Tower of Babel, Nimrod 2.0. Tower of Babel 2.0. Under the United Nations. You know, we've forgotten God. But we also have to ask the question. Erwin Lutzer has written two books. When a Nation Forgets God. Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. And another book he wrote is God on America's Side? The surprising answer and how it affects our future. We can say all the time that we're on God's side. We can say that we believe in God. We can say that, oh my goodness, we're on God's side. We can say that all day long. But can we say honestly that God is on our side? Especially when the nation's sins accumulate. When we speak of God judging a nation, we simply mean that the natural consequences of the sin of a nation accumulate and are intensified. You know, all sin has both immediate and long-term consequences. We as Christians are judged for our sin. Ezekiel 18:20. And I just want to say this, God does intensify regular judgments to get the intention of an entire nation, and he will do so.
We'll be right back with our third and final hour on this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're talking about the Colorado non-primary, the presidential election on the Republican side, and much more. Stay with us for our third and final hour on Global Star Radio Network, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, right after this.
Purple Star Radio Network.